help us to commence with hymn 1016. 1016. God of my life, thy gracious power, through varied deaths my soul has led, oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Hymn 1016.
Thank you. Let us read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading Psalm 25. Psalm 25. The 25th Psalm. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word and help us as we come before him in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, and teach us now to pray as we come before thee and approach thy holy majesty, yet at the throne of thy grace, at the seat of thy mercy, and may faith behold that precious blood sprinkled upon and sprinkled around. Oh, that we might plead that blood that does for sin atone. For Lord, we are sinners, a company of sinners. Oh, but Lord, may we be found of those sinners who hope in thy mercy and plead that blood that does atone for sin. Precious blood, the blood of Jesus, shed upon Calvary's cross, where he suffered and bled and died and lay down his life a ransom to save his people from their sins. And Lord, the psalmist of whom we have read in that psalm, he knew that he was a sinner and would confess and seek that grace to repent of his sins and turn to thee, but all to hope in thy mercy. And Lord, if we know anything of the plague of our own hearts, oh, what sinners we are, and how sin is mixed in all that we think, and all that we say, and all that we do, and we just cannot cease from sin. Sins of commission and sins of omission. And oh, those sins against light and knowledge. And if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand before such an holy, righteous, almighty, eternal God? No, not one. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, forgiveness of sin, but through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Oh, not through deeds which we have done, not through any works or merits which we can present, but oh, those grounds of thy mercy. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me, and grant, Lord, that we each may obtain thy mercy and know the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin. Bless with that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon, and all that peace and believing, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh, to know him as our Saviour, and our Redeemer, and our all in all, the one thing needful. Lord, should there be found any tonight in no concern, those, Lord, who may be satisfied with a form, an outward show, satisfied with the mere letter of the truth, oh, but feel no need of the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins. Lord, quicken, awaken, call by thy grace. Time is so short, eternity is so long, and where shall we spend eternity? We all deserve to spend eternity in hell. But, O Lord, to hope in thy mercy, to know that salvation by grace through faith, and to be found gathered into heaven, to be with Christ eternally. O Lord, do remember dear souls who have been brought into need, and he began to be in want, beginning to know themselves as lost and ruined, undone, hell-deserving sinners, beginning to fill that aching void, proving this world vanity of vanities and all is vanity and vexation of spirit, nothing here to do us good. O Lord, may such be led out of self and unto Christ, and remember those who are seeking him, longing to know him, those who may be very tried and very tempted. O Lord, those who fear there may be no hope, those who fear they're not one of thy people, not one of thy sheep, outside of the secret. O those on the borders of despair, still seeking but not finding, knocking but no opening, asking but not receiving. O grant them grace to continue. O Lord, who remember those who long to find thee. Oh that I knew where I might find him. O Lord, these dear seeking souls. Would it please thee to reveal thyself unto such? and bless them with the knowledge of thy salvation. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. Remember those blessed of that good hope through grace. And yet it may be that faith is being tried. Oh, the tempter is tempting. The accuser is accusing, feeling more and more the plague of one's own heart. And oh, what great sinners we are. Any souls who have backslidden, have turned aside, become too worldly, too indifferent, too careless. Oh Lord, who bring them back. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me by thy free spirit. Remember those in providential need, for he hath appointed a thing for me. And Lord, as we live our lives here upon this earth, and the various ways that we must go, in our callings, responsibilities, and our pathways, and for grace we need to trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, for I trust in thee. Lord, souls who desire to walk by faith and not by sight, to commit their way unto the Lord, to cast all their care upon thee. Lord, do remember such, and any who are struggling, suffering, bowed down, troubled, perplexed, in distress, those, Lord, who need the Lord to appear, the Lord to provide, the Lord to undertake and manage all, the Lord to make a way. Oh, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Lord, remember each and every one, those who walk a lonely pathway, widows, widowers. Remember any struggling with ill health, infirmities. Lord, do remember those who are bowed down and can in no wise lift up themselves, and those who wonder where the scene will end. We would rejoice with those who do rejoice, and we would mourn with those who do mourn. Bless each one present here in the chapel. Remember others who may be listening. And we pray for those who are laid aside and poorly. Lord, be pleased to sanctify these afflictions. Be pleased to grant healing, restoring, strengthening mercies, that once more they might be found back here in the chapel. O Lord, do remember those at home with little ones and any way at this time, and those in employment, do remember such. And are that great difference between those who would be here if they could, and those who could be here if they would. And Lord, thou knowest. But oh, we would be thankful for another opportunity to come to worship thee. And we pray, Lord, thy felt presence here. Oh, may it be good for us to be here. Oh, come by thy Spirit and come by thy word, and prosper thy word this night, and prepare our hearts to receive it. O cause thy word to enter in with divine power, unction, authority, come and do us good. Lord, remember this cause of truth and bless them here, and may they yet prove that thy spirit remaineth. Bless the ministry of thy word, help thy true sent servants and minister from time to time. O Lord, bless the church with unity, harmony, peace, and prosperity, praying one for another, helping one another, supporting one another, encouraging one another. And each one in the congregation, from the little ones, the children, the young people, oh, we would especially remember them, Lord, in these awful days. Oh, be that wall of fire round about them, guard them and guide them and help them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them with thy holy fear. Remember, dear parents, and grant much grace in this evil day to bring their children up aright. We pray for all in the midst of life, bearing the heat and burden of the day, with responsibilities and duties in the home, in the workplace, in business, and pressing matters. Remember older friends also, now in their declining years, and all the shadows lengthen now. O Lord, do draw near and uphold and strengthen them still. And O Lord, would it please thee yet to gather others in, broken-hearted sinners. O, to hear the word of the Lord. Let thy work appear. And what we pray for here, we pray for Zion, each cause of truth, each gathering of thy people. Lord, again, in this difficult and distressing day, O Lord, return with mercies unto Zion. Remember all thy true sent servants. We would especially remember one who had engaged to be here tonight and on Lord's Day, and that which has come upon him and his wife. Lord, draw near to them in an especial way. Sanctify these things. Be pleased to grant healing, restoring, strengthening mercies. And, O Lord, remember him as he may be enabled yet to go forth in thy name and help him still. But, Lord, would it please thee to yet raise up, equip, and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry, men sent of God, equipped by the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a great need there is in Zion. Remember thy people worldwide, all who love and fear thy name, especially those who suffer much persecution, who are attacked and threatened, who meet with hostility, denied and deprived and isolated. And, oh Lord, remember them and appear for them. Remember war-torn nations, we think especially of Ukraine and what is happening there. Oh, do thou in thy mercy, Lord, appear. And would it please thee, Lord, to bring this war to an end. Oh, Lord, restrain and constrain those in positions of power. Rule and overrule, for Lord, we look to thee. And, oh, we humbly beseech thee, Lord. Oh, that there may be a containment, not an escalation. Lord, again we look to thee. Grant peace in our times. Lord, oh, we would pray for our nation, our leaders. Have mercy. Oh, as a nation we have forsaken thee, turned from thee. As a nation we have fallen. And what a sad and solemn state we are in. Lord, spare us yet. In wrath, remember mercy, and raise up to high office or advisers such who love and fear thy name. Oh, when we think of men like Mordecai, and oh, what a gracious influence he had. Lord, raise up such. We would be thankful for all thy many, many mercies, much to be thankful for of all thy goodness and kindness. We would acknowledge thee in all our ways and would be truly thankful for every blessing and every favour and privilege. Lord, accept of our humble thanks. Forgive all our sins. Help us now. O Lord, do look upon us in our need. Shine upon thy word and open it up to our understanding. And prosper thy word and glorify thy name. And come and do poor sinners good. Compassion on us have, we pray. And empty send us not away. As we would ask all in that worthy and precious and all-pervading name of Jesus. For Jesus' sake alone we ask. Amen.
Hymn 806, the second part. 806, the second part. Come, ye backsliding sons of God, for many such there are, who long the paths of sin have trod. Come, cast away despair. Return to Jesus Christ and see there's mercy still for such as we. Hymn 806, the second part.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to Psalm 25 and verse 14. The 25th Psalm and the 14th verse. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 25 and verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. First of all, I desire, as the Lord may be pleased to help, to speak of them that fear him. And may it be a happy lot to be found of those who truly fear him. It shall be well with them that fear the Lord. Oh, what do we know of the fear of the Lord in our hearts? Because if we are blessed with that true fear of God, we shall find that it will both rule and regulate us in our lives, in what we do and in what we do not do. The fear of the Lord surely is to be found in every child of God. And where that fear may be lacking or deficient, or perhaps laid aside, well, the rod of God will soon come upon that soul to chastise, to rebuke, to reprove, or to bring that soul back into the fear of the Lord. Them that fear him. Perhaps there may be three ways in which this fear could be spoken of. First of all, them that fear him, believe in him. That is, believe in God. Believe that there is a God in heaven, almighty, eternal, our maker and our creator. In these decadent, ungodly days in which we live, all around us, so many who show no fear of the Lord. No concern to do that which is right in the sight of God. Indeed, the language of the heart is, we will not have this man to rule over us. We will please ourselves. And what awful blasphemies we hear. What wickedness. There's no regard for the word of God. There's no regard for the things of God. How many there are who say they do not even believe there is a God. Oh, how many there are who just desecrate the Lord's Day, having no regard for the Lord's Day. How many there are who reject the word of God. And if they will be religious, then they must change the word of God to fit in with their own ideas of their religion. There is no fear of God to know the word of God as it is in the truth. All around us, oh, so many who have not the fear of God in their hearts to even believe that there is God. They'd rather believe a lie. They'd rather believe a lie than to think of being accountable unto God for their lives. If we believe in the word of God, and we believe each part of the word of God, then surely we must believe that every one of us must give an account of our lives before God. How we have lived our lives. Whether we have kept his commandments or nay. Whether we have sought to walk in his ways or nay. Whether we have sought to please him or nay. Now surely where there is this fear of God in our hearts, we will seek that grace to walk humbly before him. I'll come on to that in a bit. So, first of all, that fear of God, believing that there is the one, true, living, eternal, almighty God, He is the God of gods, the King of kings, the ruler of rulers, as we sometimes sing, sovereign, ruler of the sky. So God is sovereign over all. And believing in God, all we believe in is attributes. We believe that God is almighty, of all power. We believe that he is omniscient. And what a thought that is, that God knows everything. He knows everything that is happening around the world at this moment of time. He knows every single person in the world at this time. He knows exactly what they're doing. He knows exactly what they're thinking. The omniscience of God. There is nothing that God does not know. We believe also in the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere. We have that set forth so clearly in Psalm 139. And, well, really it would be a comfort to the psalmist to believe, even there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Even there, the omnipresence of God. There is that special way in which the Lord draws near to his people, individual as well as collective. The gathering tonight, we trust, we gather together in his name. There am I in the midst. But all to feel it, to have that sweet, gracious experience that the Lord is here, in prospering his word, in preparing our hearts, in speaking to us tonight, causing his voice to be heard, his presence to be known and felt. Oh, may there be virtue drawn out from him. Or may something be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Think of those two on the Emmaus Road. I know they weren't, as it were, gathering for worship. They were perplexed, they were troubled, but Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And of that gracious effect, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way and opened to us the scriptures? But then also, in that singular sense, perhaps in the closet, in prayer, my mind just goes to Jacob. Jacob was left alone, but the Lord came upon him and wrestled with him that night. And he proved it was the Lord. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Or do you know such times in prayer? And prayer needn't be, if you will, literally shut up in a closet, in a bedroom, in a room. It may be while one is about their business. It may be while one is on their own, perhaps walking and in communion with the Lord. And you feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, you feel that spot to be hallowed ground. Ah, such sacred times. So in that special way, when the Lord draws near to his people and oh, they feel his presence. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. But then secondly, them that fear him, oh, when brought to know themselves as sinners. Anyone can say that they are a sinner. In that use of words, it's an easy thing to say. One might think it's the right thing to say. But oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. I don't know how many of you have read the life of Joseph Hart. You've just been singing one of his hymns and that hymn concerning the backslider. Well, he was left to backslide greatly presumptuously. And oh, he would never forget the wonderful mercy of God in preserving him, in bringing him back. Oh, he felt the distress, the guilt of being such a backslider in heart while putting on a religious appearance, and yet in his heart, oh, he had backslidden far from the Lord. And yet the Lord prevented him from going any further and mercifully brought him back. Oh, him who wrote, "But oh, to feel to be a sinner cuts deep beyond expression. When a guilty sinner trembles before Almighty God, against thee have I sinned and done all this evil. I am a sinner. I only deserve the punishment of my sins. I only deserve the wrath of God. I only deserve the anger of God." It may be at first it is just sins of deed which one is convicted of. But then, oh, when we're brought to be convicted of sins of word, and then sins of thought, the Lord Jesus speaks of what defileth a man. That which cometh out of a man, for out of the heart of man come forth all of those sins. Evil thoughts, evil imaginations, and oh, such terrible things rise up in or from our hearts into our minds. What great sinners we are, and how we have sinned against this almighty and eternal, righteous and pure and thrice holy God. Oh, where there is that fear, the soul truly fears the Lord. Oh, fears his wrath, fears his anger, fears the punishment of the sins which are being committed, fears to be cast out of his sight, fears to be cast into hell. Oh, them that fear him. But then there is that other fear. As the Lord thus leads that soul to hope in the mercy of God, or to behold by faith that door of God's mercy, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Or there is forgiveness, that God delighteth in mercy. And yet a child of God must learn what mercy is. And it's not trying to please God by works. It's not trying to please God by self-righteousness and justifying oneself and thinking one is doing God's service. Oh, mercy is for the condemned. Mercy is for the guilty. Oh, mercy is for those who feel they have no hope in self. And yet to hope in the mercy of God. Or that mercy then displayed in and through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 'Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. Them that fear him. Oh, how they fear him. As they hope in his mercy. And by that grace that is given, so they seek to walk in the Lord's ways. Or being humbled under the mighty hand of God, they're granted that confession of sin. They're granted that godly sorrow, which worketh repentance, true repentance in the heart, whereby they would turn from their evil ways and turn unto God. And to walk in his holy, tender, filial fear. Them that fear God. Now, as I mentioned earlier, how it will rule, govern, regulate the lives of them who truly fear him in what they do and what they do not do. in what they do. They seek to do that which is right in the sight of God. And again, they believe in the omniscience of God, that thou, God, seest me. Thou, God, seest me when others do not see me. Oh, how many there are in religion who, as it were, openly try to walk in God's ways, but privately, oh, we fear what they may get up to. But the child of God and those blessed with a true, tender fear of God, oh, it will be at all times. That thought that thou, God, seest me. We often use the example of Nehemiah. Now, when he says, so did not I because of the fear of the Lord, in one sense, he had that right as governor to take of that portion allotted for him. Because of his office and responsibilities, his position, the former governors took those provisions. They were entitled in that sense. But Nehemiah, he had a tender conscience. He looked upon many of the Lord's people in great affliction and distress. He saw them perhaps struggling and suffering, and he thought, how can I take, as it were, all this bounty while others are suffering? And it was a fear of God in his heart that prevented him. He would have sufficient and no more. He would be satisfied with that which others perhaps would have and no more. He would not be covetous. He would not lord it over others. Oh, he would not feel that entitlement because of his position. Well, it's what's afforded for me. I can take it. No. It was that fear of God in his heart. So did not I because of the fear of God. And if we're blessed with this true filial fear, well, it will affect us in our lives. Whether at school or at work, in a home, whatever our calling is, and our life walk and conversation. And it will be noticed. It will be noticed by others. If we have this true fear of the Lord in our hearts, what a wonderful thing if we are blessed with the fear of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So what is the secret of the Lord? Something secret and yet revealed. Revealed, made known, manifest to them that fear him. But secret from others. Others cannot see, others cannot know, others cannot understand, others cannot discern. Well, it came to me in this way. This secret, I believe, is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. I do fear that we too often overlook the person and work of God, the Holy Ghost, and what he is to them that fear him. What he is to every child of God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. To believe in God, the Holy Ghost, who believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but one God, bow down sense and reason, faith only reign here. Now, the person of the Holy Spirit, and then the work of the Holy Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. How absolutely vital. And you hath he quickened. If not, one must yet be dead in trespasses and in sins. If we have not been quickened by the Holy Spirit, we must still be spiritually dead, without any spiritual life.
without the life of God within. And yet, oh, it's a very solemn thought, how many in religion, how many professing to love the Lord Jesus, and yet have never been quickened, are yet spiritually dead, really in that sense without God and without hope. So this secret of the Lord, I believe, is God the Holy Spirit, but dwelling within, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And all that comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now, we cannot really pinpoint the time that the Holy Spirit enters in. But Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born from above. There is no alternative. There is no other way. This is God's way to call his people by his grace, to make them willing in the day of his power, to change a heart, renew the will, turn the feet to Zion's hill, and that moment the Holy Spirit enters in. The beginnings may be small. It may be here a little and there a little. But as the Holy Spirit enters in, well, really, so does the grace of God. Think of that parable of the foolish virgin, or the virgins and the foolish, they were lacking grace. But where the Holy Spirit enters in, so does the grace of God. For by grace ye are saved through faith. So it is the Holy Spirit who begins that work of grace. It is the Holy Spirit that maintains that work of grace. It is the Holy Spirit that deepens that work of grace. Or it is the Holy Spirit that preserves that soul. And this was a very sweet thought to me. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. It is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. He shall lead that soul unto the dear Lord Jesus. You see, it's all of grace. It's all of God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, because the two go together. All the two go together. Where there is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where there's grace in the heart, so that soul also will fear the Lord. The secret of the Lord. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus. If ye then, being evil, that is, sinners, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? May it be found in our hearts to pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, to be assured of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to be assured that our religion is of God. Oh, if our religion is not of God, how solemn is that? It's nothing. It's only that religion which is of God that will bring a soul safe at last to heaven. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Now, flowing from the gift of the Holy Ghost are those graces which are given. The Lord working in the heart and grace being manifest in the life, walk and conversation. The secret of the Lord. Prayer. What a privilege is prayer, that by prayer we might have access unto God. We have no access to our Queen. We have no access to our rulers. At times we find we have no access to such we would be in contact with, but by the Holy Ghost, access is granted into the holiest of all, by that new and that living way which he hath consecrated for us through the rent veil of his flesh. Now there's prayer and there's prayer. There's praying aright and there's praying amiss. I do not want to discourage any from praying. Pray if thou canst or canst not pray, but pray with faith in Jesus' name. But oh, where there's that fear of God in the heart, that soul will desire to pray aright. And what is it to pray aright? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Prayer that is indicted by the Holy Ghost. I remember years ago now going to a Christian bookshop, I think in Bedford, and while I was waiting, the gentleman came in and he asked the person there, have you got a book on prayers, of prayers? I kept silent. We want more than a book of prayers. I don't want to sound judgmental, but one would imagine he wanted this book so he could use the language of others in an attempt to pray. Now, Philpott, raised under the Church of England and the Book of Common Prayer, all felt so strongly against forms of prayer. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us to pray. Yes, what is called the Lord's Prayer, after this manner pray ye. Now, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit helpeth by teaching us to pray for what we ought, as we ought, those groanings which cannot be uttered, those groanings at a throne of grace of the soul pleading for mercy, begging for pardon, for forgiveness, or that soul confessing their sins unto God, that soul longing for the Lord Jesus to know him with groanings. And then again, this is so important. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we pray, is it our desire that we pray according to the will of God? Well, one might be thinking, well, what is the will of God? Again, a soul must seek to know the will of God. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Would we really want to pray for something which is it not the Lord's will for us to have? Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your lusts, upon your pleasures, upon yourself. It wouldn't actually do us any good, any spiritual good. It wouldn't be for our soul's profit. That is why we may be denied such a thing. To pray according to the will of God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Now, prayer, so much could be said concerning prayer, the secret of the Lord. It just comes to me as Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee, so religious, said many prayers. But until the Lord dealt with him, until the Holy Spirit entered into him, then it could be said, behold, he prayeth according to the will of God. Now, the privilege of prayer. It seems to be pressing on my mind concerning Peter walking on the water, and then taking his eyes off the Lord Jesus and looking around and feeling frightened by the elements, and he began to sink into the water. But then the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Oh, he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. How many here have prayed that prayer? Of course, he weren't sinking in the water, but oh, it may be spiritually. Save me for thy mercy's sake. It may be in providence, from trouble, from distresses. Lord, save me. You may feel to be sinking under the weight of it all, but Lord, save me. And then that other little prayer, Lord, help me. Oh, how many here have prayed that prayer, have brought into need. There is none to help. No arm of flesh, no help in self. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That's a secret of the Lord. One to go to in time of need. And we come back to those attributes of God, omnipresent, even there. How Jonah proved it, even in the belly of that great whale, even there he prayed unto the Lord his God. Jeremiah sinking in the mire, even there he prayed unto the Lord his God. And oh, believing in the help of God, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help. Fear not, I will help thee. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, believing that the Lord is able to help. It's the Asa who prayed, it is nothing with thee, Lord, to help. Oh, man cannot help. Man cannot help in this situation, this scenario, this difficulty, this impossibility. But God can help. God can help. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they're blessed with that spirit of prayer. It's a warning, isn't it? Grieve not the Holy Spirit, by whom ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And perhaps we grieve the Holy Spirit when we turn from prayer, when we become indifferent, when we become prayerless, or when we harden our hearts, when we're full of doubts and fears, and even being suspicious, full of suspicion, whether the Lord can help in this or that or in the other way. And how often we may turn to an arm of flesh, we may turn to man, seeking help or relief from man. And we have to prove, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein shall he be accounted of? But oh, how we can grieve the Holy Spirit by being prayerless. And we need that stirring up. Oh, that stirring up to pray. You just think of Psalm 107. In the times they came into trouble and they were stirred up, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Or when they proved there was none to help. Or when they felt to be at their wit's end, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Too often perhaps we're spending our time, our breath, speaking to others rather than in prayer, secret prayer, closet prayer, communion with God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Oh, that secret of prayer, prayer hearing and prayer answering God. That secret of waiting upon God. That secret of going again seven times. That secret of trusting in God. It rather struck me. The psalmist here was in great trouble. I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. He felt only the Lord could. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed. For I put my trust in thee. How is it with you tonight in what you're passing through? And not just in what you and I are passing through, but the state of Zion, the state of a nation, the state of the nations in this awful day in which we live, and we would believe in the sovereignty of God, we would believe that God sitteth upon the throne. Do we have that trust in God? For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Particularly that in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, having that trust in God. Oh, that sweet trusting in the Lord, to trust in him at all times. Relatively easy to trust in God when things are going well, but to trust in God when things are going ill, when things seem to be against us, when things are going wrong, when things are crooked and things are hard, and there's disappointments and there's setbacks, and oh, things are so trying, but still to trust in a wise and gracious God, trust in God when there's calamities all around, still to trust in God, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. The text here in Isaiah 30 goes on, and ye would not, but ye said no. They wouldn't put their trust in God. And yet I just want to go on to read from verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait, the forbearance of God, the patience of God, and therefore will the Lord wait until that soul in returning and rest is brought back, until that soul has learned to truly trust in a wise and gracious God, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. That wait for him. Or would he be found waiting for him tonight? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Naomi had some hard and bitter lessons to learn, and she learnt them. The Lord was very gracious and very merciful. And so she would be used to teach Ruth, the secret of the Lord. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man shall not be in rest until he finish the thing this day. Perhaps one needs that word tonight. Sit still. You're agitated, you're troubled, you're tempted to put your hand to it. You're going to do something about it. You're going to take matters into your own hand. And you almost think you know better than God. And oh, you cannot wait anymore. Impatience has got the better of you. You really feel so pressed that you've got to do something. Dear soul, this is what you've got to do. Sit still. Be still and know that I am God. Oh, outwardly, how the children of Israel felt to be in such a perilous condition by the Red Sea, where they felt to be so trapped and there was no way to escape. We know the outcome. We know the nevertheless afterward. They didn't. I do feel that Moses felt fully persuaded the Lord would appear. But the word from the Lord was stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Be still and know that I am God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. There's waiting for the Lord, and there's waiting upon the Lord. My soul, wait thou only on God, for my expectation is from him. Waiting upon the Lord, we have it at the end of Isaiah 40, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The secret of the Lord, he giveth power. Oh, he giveth power unto the faint. He reneweth their strength. The secret of the Lord, to uphold his people, to preserve his people, to keep them. Oh, the secret of the Lord, as they're enabled to trust in him and wait upon him and wait on him, they prove the faithfulness of God. Being upheld, being strengthened, although they feel to be so faint, yet pursuing, waiting upon the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, who walk by faith and not by sight. So easy to repeat those words, quote those words. Quite another thing to walk them out. What do we know of walking by faith and not by sight? Well, the words from Proverbs 3 just come to mind. They seem to shine a light upon this walking by faith and not by sight. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Dear friends, how often we lean upon our own understanding, our own thoughts, and what we imagine may or may not happen. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, when we lean to our own understanding, we may have great fears. There was that hymn back at a Friendly Companion, I think it's in January, and it speaks of trials. We greatly fear these trials, which will troubles, which may never come. Which may never come. And we think we know the future. We think so-and-so is going to do this, or such-and-such is going to happen. And, oh, we're greatly fearful. We lean upon our own understanding. We're sure it's going to happen like this, but it never does. And in various other ways, we may lean to our own understanding. But the word here, it's a secret. The Lord will teach his people, make known to his people, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. So you take it to the Lord in prayer. You lay your letter out before the Lord. You commit all unto him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Ah, the secret of the Lord, as the Holy Spirit leads our souls unto the Lord Jesus, and to know him as our Saviour, our Redeemer, that there is none other Saviour, none other name given us under heaven whereby we must be saved, but that of the Lord Jesus. The secret of the Lord, that one thing is needful. Or has that secret been made known unto us with power, that one thing is needful, that Jesus is the one thing needful. Oh, to flee to him, to flee to that refuge of sinners, to flee to him who receiveth sinners, to trust in him, the secret of the Lord, the word of God, both written and incarnate. He shall take of mine and show it unto you. That right understanding of the word of God, not man's interpretation. Do not interpretations belong unto God? And God is his own interpreter. And oh, we read of the Holy Spirit, he shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things necessary. Oh, may the Lord thus make us teachable and cause us to learn and cause us to understand the secret of the Lord. And it's looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus at all times. So often, like Peter, we may look around, and as soon as we look around, we're taking our eyes off the Lord Jesus. And we look around at these threatening things, we look around at our enemies, we look around at all these problems and difficulties, and we begin to sink. But oh, may we be found looking unto Jesus, looking off all beside, that eye of faith to behold him, and looking to him, like the psalmist did in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a secret. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. It doesn't mean that the Lord might outwardly prosper. It doesn't mean that one may be very successful. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Ah, the secret of the Lord. And he led them forth by the right way. Now, that will mean that at times there will be shut doors, there will be disappointments. And we may struggle. And we may wonder why. And we may even feel to be let down. There will be at times unanswered prayers. At times the Lord may say no. And then we need that grace to be submissive to the will of God. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And still to trust in him. Ah, the secret of the Lord, to humble thyself under the mighty hand of God. And he shall exalt thee in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The secret of the Lord, at times there will be open doors. This is the way, walk ye in it. I have set before thee an open door. The secret of the Lord, my sheep hear my voice. Or it may be that still small voice. But it's heard, it's received, it's understood. Oh, may it be obeyed. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And surely with them that fear him, desire to obey him. Is that your desire tonight, to obey God? You don't want to disobey God? Or it may be something before you, and how can I go? How can I take this step? How can I venture? I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Oh, that's a secret. The secret of the Lord. To go in the strength of the Lord God, leaning upon all sufficient grace and looking unto Jesus. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant of grace. Oh, he will make known unto them that covenant of grace. Well, it was the dear psalmist, although my house be not so with God, he felt to be such a sin of marred everything. Yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my desire. He will show them his covenant. Well, may we be found each with the tender filial fear of God in our hearts. And may it be manifest in our life, walk and conversation. I leave you with those words of the Lord Jesus. They're so poignant, they're so powerful, and they're so true. By their fruits ye shall know them. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Amen.
God willing, next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field will preach remotely in the morning, and Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11. Thank you.
the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.